Coming up next on your favorite radio station, it's hour one of the Dr. Future Show.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks. Welcome to the future. Future Tuesday, at least. And how we will bring some of the ideas of the future and the dreams and hopes of the future into our present moment as best as we can. So thanks for tuning in. We tend to focus on the positive, but like many of us, we get excited sometimes about drama.
Drama.
We watch drama. We don't like to have it in our personal lives, but watching it can be fun.
Sure. Yeah, as long as it's happening to somebody else, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now, why is that? There's a PhD in there somewhere.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, right. One of the things that we, of course, usually enjoy this time of year, Mrs. Future and I, have been to Burning Man about a dozen times.
It's true.
This year, we did not.
That's true. We are now elder burners. We have done our time. We have burned with the burners, yeah. And now we're taking it easy.
We took it upon ourselves to be part of the media mecca there for many years, where we were able to help shepherd in live media, like Burning Man TV with John Graham, to everyone.
That's true. For many years, we were co-hosting the live webcast of The Burn with John Graham, who was the facilitator of the live webcast.
Facilitator. He's the master.
Yeah, he is the master of data through the networks. And we learned
more about networking from that man than just about anything else I've done.
Yes, and originally he created this company called surveillance.com. That's where he was when we first met him.
No, his company was bought and then
became
surveillance.com once it was bought.
Oh, right. Yeah, he's just a renegade genius who believes if you can figure it out, you can use it.
Yeah, he figured out how to transmit video over the net without a plug-in.
Right.
In the mid-90s.
Yes, before Skype, before See You, See Me, before all those early precursors.
Periscope and FaceTime streaming video is. Ooh,
yeah.
Well, that's been around for a very long time. We just don't hear about it because that's the way things are.
Yeah. Yeah, he actually, just for the fun of it, created the first social network I ever used, which I don't think he ever gave a name to, but, you know, it's kind of pre-Tribe. Right? Tribe was kind of the first social network. Then there was MySpace. And
right.
Then
yeah,
there
John
was
started
Facebook.
An online collaboratory.
Collaboratory. Yeah,
yeah. He was always more of a scientist and felt that, you know, the collaboration was really where it was at for the evolution of the net.
Right. Yeah. Right. So anyway, history of the future. I mean, we're getting to a point where so many of the things have come into being. It doesn't even seem like the future anymore. It seems like the now.
Yeah, and there's things that happened this year that we have never happened in our now when we were at Burning Man. Like, there's this camp that is raging with controversy because it was vandalized during the festival, and it was an exclusive camp. It was called White Ocean. It was founded in 2013 by British DJ Paul Oakenfield and Timur Sardanov, son of a Russian billionaire. And this camp is very exclusive. In many ways, you literally have to be, it's a who's who camp.
Really? So do you have to have like an iris scan to get in the gate or what?
Gate? They don't use gates. They fly in helicopters and airplanes.
Oh, I see. You have to land on the helipad or you can't come in.
I mean, this is a very
not exactly
exclusive.
The Burning Man spirit, but, right. You know, it's evolved.
Yeah, you know, it's the super rich kids partying. Uh-huh. So the less than super rich kids hooliganized their camp. They cut off their power. For one thing.
Oh, really? Was it externally provided? You mean this exclusive camp didn't bring their own power?
They did. They somehow cut it off.
Oh, uh-huh.
You know, I'm sure.
Somebody siphoned the gas out of their generator.
Or turned it off.
And just flipped the switch.
No, I think...
Nobody in the White Ocean camp knew how to find the on switch.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, they might have gone further than that. Vandalized means that they could have, like, taken an axe to the cables.
That's right? True. I mean, burners are a pretty unruly bunch. I'm very proud of that fact.
And then
newbies, you know, they do tend to get hazed, Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then to make sure their electronics didn't work, someone dumped hundreds of gallons of water in their camp and flooded it at the camp.
Oh.
Yeah. So they cut the cables and flooded the camp.
Wow.
So that's the big drama. So that's being analyzed by the police. They got called in for that.
See, and, this is against the law. There are laws at Burning Man, even. It's a city for a whole week.
Oh, it is. And, you know, it gave the police something real to do, in a sense. I mean, it's no secret that for many police departments, having a job at Burning Man for the weekend is like winning the lottery.
Yes,
police jobs.
That's right. Naked people, lots of them gorgeous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And especially if you're a social kind of guy, mm-hmm. Or girl, for that matter. So it does well. And this gave him something really, you know, real police work to do.
Mm-hmm. There is something requiring detective work. Who committed these crimes?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. Boy, this stuff was inconceivable during our heyday in Burning Man. We come from the time when it was really a party. And I believe your first year was the year of the burning pianos. That was like the most memorable thing of that year. And I think the tickets were $10 and anybody could come anytime. I think you went and did a 48-hour excursion, didn't even bother to sleep.
24-hour, yeah, just flew in and out.
Right.
My first burning
but man. Since then, I like to say Burning Man became the man. And from this time of kind of like frontier freedom, it went through the full gamut. And, you know, they just completed a year that was devoted to Da Vinci and bringing Da Vinci qualities into the modern age and discussing modern Renaissance.
Well, yeah, that's the theme was supposed to be the idea of a Renaissance, and we're in for a new time. We've talked about this often on the show. I believe in the new Renaissance.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think everyone in this camp kind of does.
Yeah.
Because you can see how you can create a city almost overnight.
Right.
We can create things.
And it was
things.
Such a city. I mean, it was wall-to-wall RVs. That's what I was trying to say, is like it's no longer just kind of the renegades. It's become a sorority or a fraternity or something. It's very different. Anyway, we got to go for our first break, and then we've got all kinds of cool stuff to talk about here on the Dr. Future Show, so stay tuned. Happy Future Tuesday on KSEO. We'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back to Burning Man. Yeah, right. Welcome back to the story about Burning Man.
You're still there.
I didn't go this year. That's the thing. We stayed at home and watched it on a big screen.
I liked that. It was such a clean burn.
It was. No dust.
No dust. And we got to see the beautiful fires on Burn Night and Temple Night. And
watching the burn, reflecting on all our experiences of the past.
That's right.
And of course,
cranking up the radio.
And in our Future Peak home brain, we have all the videos of our Burning Man past available to us on our iPads.
That's true. We did a little time travel through Burning Man's past.
Yeah.
It was, I think, the ideal way to go to Burning Man.
It was a virtual experience. And there's something to be said about that, for sure, because virtual experiences will become much more available than having to trek to the desert like that.
Sure.
I wanted to complete that story by saying that White Ocean, the group that had been vandalized, put out a pretty good attitude about it in the long run. They say that, like, if you go to their Facebook page, their description of what happened was, a band of hooligans raided our camp, stole from us, pulled and sliced all of our electrical lines, leaving us with no refrigeration and wasting our food, and glued our trailer doors shut, vandalized most of our camping infrastructure, dumped 200 gallons of potable water, flooding our camp. They called the authorities immediately. The sheriffs came to the camp of the Rangers to take the report, and they have said that even though they've been sabotaged from every angle, they say, last night's chain of events, while we were all enjoying our beautiful home, the Playa, was an absolute and definitive confirmation that some feel we're not deserving of Burning Man. We actually had someone from the organization tell us that, to paraphrase it, it makes sense that you have been sabotaged as you are a closed camp and not welcoming. And a lot of people had that sensitivity that being a closed camp is just not welcome at Burning Man. It's just not de rigueur.
Hmm.
However, in their defense, they say, we provide one of the most state-of-the-art stages on the Playa and feed hundreds of non-white ocean burners, a day. Does this qualify as a non-welcoming camp with no contribution to Burning Man? We ask you this. It's the rich kids say that.
Hmm. Well, gosh, we'll have to talk to some burners who can give us a little bit more insight. They sound like nice folks.
Nonetheless, with open hearts and immense love for what we bring to Burning Man, we will absolutely not let this pathetic violation, pathetic losers.
Yeah, it is. It's such a party poopers, you know. Instead of enjoying the party, they're trying to ruin it for someone else. That is so not the Burning Man spirit.
We came here to unite people through music and love. We came here to inspire, and we came here to live and let live.
I'd say they're their true burners.
Yeah, now that's a better attitude.
So. All right, long live White Ocean.
Please join us at our White Ocean camp and help us celebrate life through music.
All right.
In doing so, we together can make these foolish, pathetic loser acts, I added that part, as minuscule as a particle of dust on our beloved playa.
Good for them. Turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
Good job. That's the spirit.
And Jessica Britt agrees. She wrote in, one of our friends from Santa Cruz. She says, "Hi, I am sorry your beautiful space was sabotaged. The word on the street is it was not so much about your being rich, etc., but not paying folks who built your camp in the past and maybe some attitudes stuff in the present with staff. So sorry about all this." You know, that's it. Mm. So she's the psychologist of the crew. She knows behind the scenes.
Karma. You never know. Where did these things begin? You see the results, but not the roots.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that completes that thought. If you have any ideas about that, you're certainly welcome to call us.
Well, sabotage is not something I usually associate with Burning Man.
No. It's a different energy.
Yeah, it is. It's envy. So, hey, it's the full human experience, right? Full range.
Right. And in the future, we have emotions.
Yeah. Emotions are actually the guide.
Yeah.
Past, present, and future.
Learn and move on. This is the whole divide between the rich and the poor. Yeah, it's a classic human dilemma.
It is, absolutely. And the whole idea of the generosity and the, I guess, the kind of allure of the rich, trying to share it in a way that makes sense to them, and then actually being demonized because maybe they were snotty to somebody, or maybe they didn't, well, it sounds like they didn't pay someone in the past and they were supposed to. I don't know.
Well, there's all kinds of reasons that come up.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Anyway, justice.
Usually around love and money.
That's it. Love and money, you know.
It's the human condition.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's hard to know what's fair in the long run, right? People have such different views on it.
And yet we all work it out. We always seem to.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's try another topic, shall we?
All right, so now we're turning to the DrFutureShow.com website and the links page and the carefully
A couple of news items before
I
definitely have a piece on this new star in a jar. It's really got my attention.
Star in a jar.
Star in a jar, yeah. But before that, there is...
Who wouldn't want one? I want one.
Everyone wants one.
What do we do with a star in a jar?
You have unlimited energy. And what do you do with energy? What do you do with energy?
Oh, so this is not like a firefly lantern. This is something much more futury.
This is the ultimate decentralization of power. You know,
a star in a jar. And everyone can have their own jar.
They're basically their own Tomahawk fusion reactor. You know, that's what it comes down to.
That sounds like a jar that would be pretty hard to hold.
Well, it is initially. But you see, the whole train there is that the Tomahawk fusion reactors are getting smaller. Right? They're smaller and a better design. Mm-hmm. Instead of toroids, they're spheres.
Oh.
They're switching to magnetic laser combination field containment, stuff like that.
So this is a fusion reactor we're talking about.
Yeah.
That kind of star in a jar.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. There's a couple of news items that are a little bit more important. Like Elon Musk's story was interesting about the rocket blowing up, the Falcon 9 on the stage.
Every time there's a blow up like that, I just feel so much compassion for him. He tries so hard.
It is a team of people. Not just him as well. That's the thing to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So the weirdest thing that I heard about that, and not to belittle this at all, was there was a little dot that went across the screen just before the rocket blew up.
Yeah, I've seen those pictures. Yeah. Some poor bird got caught in the flames probably.
Well, that's what some think. Others thinking it's a UFO.
A UFO or a drone.
That caused the blow up. Yeah,
right.
It's one of the most popular conspiracy theories on the net right now, trending.
Yeah, well, that was such a massive fire. And, you know, every other time that there's been any kind of explosion, it's just been like a piece. And they've had such good data about all the things that went wrong that, you know, they said exactly which system failed and how it failed. And so what is the news this time? What is Elon saying about it?
Well, I haven't heard any new reports from SpaceX yet. Just the conspiracy stuff, which I go with the bird, Occam's razor, the simplest is most likely. Mm-hmm. But coast to coast, there was all over the fact that it might be a UFO. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite there yet. I mean, not that I don't believe in intelligence elsewhere in the universe, but come on.
UFO, espionage, it could be any of those things. Yeah. The most interesting follow-up I saw around it was on Facebook. There was something posted that said it was a real Facebook exchange between Elon and Mark Zuckerberg. And it was just kind of a friendly chat about, sorry to tell you, your rocket blew up.
Well, that's true. It does lead to...
You're going to have to pay for it. And Elon's like, well, yeah, I will. I just have to get some other stuff out of the way.
What do you think?
Rockets blow up. It's what happens, you know? So that's,
do you think Mark Zuckerberg is an investor in Tesla?
I don't know.
I mean, if I was Zuck, I probably would have some money in Tesla. Why not?
You do have some money in Tesla. Oh, yeah. That's one of our...
I don't even have to be him. I do anyway. That's true, Mrs. Future.
That's part of Dr. Yes. Mrs. Future's long-term retirement plan.
But to put myself in Zuck's shoes, then I would not... I would bet in my own company, of course.
Of course.
Facebook's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
But hey, what else around is interesting? Spread the bets.
Yeah. Well, that's what people do when it's betting. I mean, gambling is never sure.
Yeah. And part of the bigger vision, I think, that a number of these guys share is the idea of ubiquitous global communications.
Yes, what's so disappointing about this one is because
they all believe in that.
Yeah, and apparently Mark Zuckerberg was in Africa telling people about how this satellite was going to launch his long-held dream of a communications network that would serve Africa.
Yeah, and Elon Musk has often talked about putting 180 small satellites in low Earth orbit and turning it on, and whoosh, the whole planet would have bandwidth.
Yeah,
just like that. All these little...
That's why I'm kind of leaning, without any evidence at all, just personal suspicion. It seems to me like it could be some kind of espionage.
That somebody wants to slow down that vision.
Yeah, because the report on Vice is that Africa is the center of all kinds of weapons running and drug running.
Deep, dark Africa.
Yes, and that there's not any real religious wars funding everything. It's more like the land grab for the resources, for the oil, for the diamonds, for the last sources of wealth. So, of course, there'd be people who don't want ubiquitous internet because that empowers way too many people. So
yeah.
All right, gotta go. Time for our CBS News break. See you after.
Right. Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. I wanted to share with you also one of these big issues that affects us all. This is a kind of a battle between the high-tech corporations and the government. There's an article we have in our links called Apple, Google, Back Microsoft Over Sneak and Peek Searches.
Ooh. That sounds like the government should be busted if they're doing sneak and peek. They don't allow citizens to do it. Why should they do it?
Yeah, well, that's the big issue. The issue is that whether or not the government should be able to sneak and peek your emails without telling you about it.
Yeah, maybe we should have a vote. Maybe that should be on the ballot.
See, they might suspect you doing something. They just want to look in really fast and, see if they're right. Then leave. No trace, no fuss, no muss, right? So if you didn't do anything, you have nothing to worry about.
Nod, nod, wink, wink.
Yeah.
We're just checking.
It'd be nice to be able to check data in real time.
Sure, doesn't everyone want that kind of government?
Well, if you do,
don't we want the government to have privacy that is denied to the citizens?
If it's a criminal or national security case, you got to know these things. There's an argument to be made for that.
Okay, but what is the position of Microsoft, Apple, Google, all these other people who are part of this consortium?
Well, the idea is that since Ed Snowden released all this information about how well our government spies on us, the amazing tools that are in place already, mm-hmm. that the people have generally not been too happy about that. And so they want from our gadgets, from our phones, for example, we want some sense of security that our communications with our friends and family and business partners.
It seems to me we shouldn't be debating whether or not the government should spy on us. It seems to me that we should be researching how best to make sure that every attempt to spy on us is extremely well documented and that we are informed about it. Like, well, wouldn't that be way better?
Well, there's a paper trail right now that you can track that, but you don't have to tell person that you just spied on. Though you do if you break into their house. Like if you're an agent and you can go into someone's house, but you have to let them know. There's a whole legal process in place for that. But the argument is that we don't have the equivalent protections for our citizens in cyberspace.
Yeah.
It's not as good as in physical space.
That's a real problem that our leaders
have. It's like they can just go in and look at it.
Forgotten that they're in America and have forgotten that free speech and being assumed innocent until proven guilty is what makes our country great and strong, and that they think, no, we have to be afraid of ourselves and we have to treat everyone like they're criminals and we have to control from above without equality and fair rights for those below.
You know, it's like criminals can happen anywhere. I mean, it's like cancer can happen anywhere.
That's system. True, but you know, treating everyone as if they're a criminal probably creates more criminals than treating everyone as if they're not criminals and finding the ones that are. So I'm just a big advocate of more transparency, but personal privacy. Yes, we need personal privacy. And if the government is going to spy, it needs to be part of due process. And I'm with the tech companies that any time that the spying happens, if it is part of due process, there should be disclosure. That's free speech.
Apple said in their filing that the frequency and volume of government's use of gag orders towards people are virtually unlimited in practice because their endpoint is unclear.
Right. We just want the data. We're not going to tell you why, and you can't ask, and you can't tell the people that we're looking at.
Apple said it received almost 600 gag orders.
600 gag orders from who? From the FBI?
From
law enforcement.
From law enforcement, yeah. Mm-hmm. Fox News, Associated Press, and 27 other news organizations have asked in a separate filing last Friday to join the case, saying the restraints on disclosing warrants to email users violate free speech rights. So the fact that they're not notifying.
So it's crazy. Like they want
you to spy on your email.
They want you to disclose who your press links are. You know, like the press doesn't have the right to protect their sources, but the government wants to protect their right to spy. I don't know. Their privacy is more important than our privacy.
You've got conservative and liberal groups both upset about this.
Privacy. It's all about the new form of freedom is privacy.
Even the ACLU is involved now and the Electronic Frontiers Foundation, and they're seeking to file so-called friend of the court briefs in support of Microsoft in this main case. Mm-hmm. And it's not every day that Fox News and ACLU are on the same side.
Yeah, that's pretty unusual.
Microsoft's noticed that. That's quite something. So their chief legal officer, a guy named Brad Smith, says, quote, "We believe the constitutional rights at stake in this case are of fundamental importance, and people should know when the government accesses their emails unless secrecy is truly needed."
Yes, I agree with that completely. I think if you're being spied on, I mean, I really think this would go a long way to curbing all forms of hacking. If the government got on the bandwagon that any time that an email is read by a third party, not only is that illegal without a warrant, but if there is a warrant, there's an automatic disclosure to the person who is being violated. If software was just built from the get-go that every time there's a peak.
Would the rules be different, say, if you felt like you were at war with somebody like we're doing with ISIS? What would you do?
Would you let
them know that you're spying on them? That you're listening to their emails? Would you want to do that even? Or would that compromise exactly what you're trying to achieve, which is
destroy
them?
There's got to be due process, okay? Legal due process. Mm-hmm. So legal due process. I mean, if somebody wants to search your house, then they have to knock on the door. They have to show a piece of paper that says that they have gone to a court who has approved their reasons for doing so. Mm-hmm. You know, there has to be some kind of review from the leadership that says they're not just a bunch of thugs who have harnessed the government to go and ransack your place. I mean, sometimes they do think they're a bunch of thugs that are just here to ransack your place anyway, but at least the legal official reality of the version of what's supposed to happen is your rights are supposed to be respected.
Yeah, I think so. I think if you focus on citizen rights rather than wartime and whatever, not get confused by these other issues, but look at our rights with our government. That's really the best place we can start, because that's just something with it we actually can do something about.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So any thoughts you have on this, folks, please let us know. It's an ongoing debate. It's going to be one of the big legal battles of the coming year.
Yeah, 831-479-1080. You can also check out our website, www.drfutureshow.com, on the links page if you want to read up and then chime in. Okay.
All right. So that's the sneak and peek searches issue there. Also in the news, I thought it was kind of another revealing piece of information. It was in the Daily Mail, and it was an article about good old rogue state North Korea.
Oh.
Always trying to be the thorn in everything.
Yeah.
That makes you wonder.
Boy.
In this case, the G20 is all meeting in China,
mm-hmm.
right nearby North Korea. So they take this opportunity to like fire their missiles.
Over here. Do you think it's because like maybe North Korea wasn't invited to the party? I mean, are they just like having a hissy fit?
Well, or I think what a lot of analysts believe is that North Korea is used by the Chinese to bug us.
Oh, I see.
So they're kind of like, they're Chinese bad boys.
I see. It's a bad cop. Yeah. Like China is out there saying, yeah, we're best friends ever since World War II, and we're America and China are like...
Yeah, go run that car through that puddle in front of those group of people over there. splash them good.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they'll do it.
Yeah.
So a lot of people see North Korea as the flunkies of the Chinese.
Well,
so which makes sense.
But I don't think North Korea sees themselves.
No,
that
they don't.
Way.
Of course not. Who could they? But I mean, there's no comparison in terms of power.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about big brother, little brother.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no way. Anyway, the reason
that they're saying that China is treating them like they're the flunkies is because China is not inspecting the arms that are going through China to North Korea.
But they're sending stuff into North Korea, weapons.
And they're literally seeding North Korea with weapons, huh?
And our intelligence agencies track that kind of thing. And,
uh-huh.
and one of the analysts has said that the Chinese rockets look identical to the North Korean ones now. So the North Koreans must have gotten some Chinese technology.
Hmm.
And this is concerning because this would support the idea that China is basically making their bad boy brother better for what they're
the
doing.
The sad reality of life on planet Earth is that in every power structure on the planet, whether it's corporate, national, or some other form, there's always somebody who wants to start a fight just to prove that they're more powerful.
Well, knowing that, then this is the sort of an ongoing fight that we have to deal with on the global scale.
Yeah, but how come we don't hear in these same stories about all the people who know that this is just crazy and that there are way better options? And how come we don't hear more about like the heroes of peace and the heroes of people who aren't making all their money from arms sales?
Well, that's why we're here, so we can do a different type of news. And that's why KSEO supports 80 different voices.
Local voices. That's
so
right.
There's a lot of other ways to think about the world than a handful of news sources.
And God bless the
internet. Including your own minds. Everyone's own minds. You know, that's where,
to so many opinions.
Yeah, I mean, what you believe to be true is actually how you live your life.
Whether
you believe it or not, you mostly live according to what you think is real.
That's right.
So it's important that your grasp of reality is good, we think.
Absolutely.
And it's easy to believe in false things. You
know? 7 billion different perceivers for the same radio station, and yet not anyone's necessarily agreeing about it.
So we like to think for yourself mentality.
That's right. Power to the people. Yeah. Superpowers to the people.
So to complete on the North Korean thing, the three missiles that they fired fell into Japan's economic zone. Yeah, so they were disturbing Japan specifically.
That means the 200-mile limit from the island.
Yeah, 200-mile limit from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And the launch was considered a serious threat by Japanese security. And the Tokyo protested North Korea via the Japanese embassy in Beijing. Then they had a little meeting at the G20 where they all talked about this mm-hmm. more informally. And I was certain you can bet it was one of the things that they talked to each other about.
I think they should get those burner vandals to go visit North Korea. You know, like they didn't get invited to the party either. Anyway, it's time to go to a break, sweetie.
Well, one other thing is that this whole thing is leading to American weapons being used to create as a shield from North Korea. So we can spend a lot of money on creating a defense for South Korea.
Oh, so this is really just a ad campaign for selling more weapons.
These big are money lobbyists, weapons. Politicians, wars. I mean, what does it mean to you? Yeah. Think about it.
Yeah, big boys with big toys. Yeah. All right, folks, got to go to our break. Dr. Future Show, stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We have a caller about the North Korean situation.
Hello, David. Welcome to the Dr. Future Show.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good.
So, yeah, I have a quick comment that's, food for thought and a little bit of healthy knowledge. What we're doing more or less with South Korea and with any allied nation is we're putting in a system along with other systems called THAAD, which is defense against intercontinental ballistic missiles and like-minded missiles.
Right, kind of like like in Israel with
the Iron Dome.
Iron Dome, only more sophisticated.
Yeah. So we're basically just making it so that the only option is for countries that have a problem with us to only come and talk. Because if you can't attack us, then the only thing you're going to do is talk.
Great. I like that strategy.
And that's kind of the whole purpose of a lot of our military budget is if everybody has the same size gun, or if you have the biggest gun, then you have to talk. There's nothing else to do.
Yeah, if you neutralize the weaponry.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's all. I just wanted to put that out there.
I appreciate that. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, David.
You too. Okay. So the idea that our government is actually trying to neutralize the weapons threats.
Yeah, well,
scale.
You have to be strong in a world of where people are challenging authority all the time, and not everyone has the same values you do. You know, what did they say? Walk softly and carry a big stick.
Well, it is interesting that
it's
the immigrants
just as wise now as it was in the original time.
Well, it is interesting, don't you think, that immigrants from all around the planet come here, and you know, in the government that we create for ourselves, we have the biggest, baddest ass military that the world has ever seen. Now, what does that tell you about our trusting of our species? It's interesting.
Well, power is power, and military is power. And in this country, it is aligned with a lot of the other powerful interests. And what are you going to do? It's part of leadership, is to make sure that
here's the thing. You
can defend what you believe in.
I mean, we've seen, Americans have seen a lot of other cultures, a lot of other world parts of the world. And the truth is that it's been, there's some scary people out there and there's some scary scenarios going on. But think of all the incredible experiences you've had overseas with people you've met.
Yeah.
Think about that, too, because that's citizen diplomacy.
Yeah.
And it might not seem as important as this other world stage stuff, but it is every bit as important. Because
it's way more important.
We can do personally.
I mean, over my life, I have watched Americans and the way that other people in the world hold their esteem of Americans has really been challenged, basically because our leadership decided to step away from the identity of being good global citizens and try to step into the identity of being like the leaders of the police. And it just doesn't work here. You know, this is not a fascistic kind of country. It's an entrepreneurial, play fair, level the playing field kind of country, you know?
And there's also another layer to who we are that's coming. It's part of being American, too, is how we're connected with the whole. You know, we created the internet, helped create the internet, part of that process.
That's true. Our Cold War warrior friends, like J.J. Webb, who were involved.
Ubiquitous bandwidth.
Yeah, they believe that the best way to have power is to have as many people as possible holding the keys, right? That's the kind of power that works best in America. Spread it around. You know, the best way to protect yourself from what you're afraid of is don't just depend on some bigwig who thinks that they're calling the shots, but depend on everyone to depend on themselves.
And to help with that process, you notice how more and more of your friends online aren't in America, that actually...
it's a global community.
For many of us.
The internet has made the world a smaller place.
And that the kids born with an internet were brought up with friends all over the world. It's right from the get-go. So already, what does that make you as a human being, as an identity, and your friends are everywhere? what does that do to your sense of nationality?
Blue marble.
Exactly. You go automatically go to the whole global human, you know, what it means. What does it mean to be human level of thinking? And nation states were created to help keep us organized and alive in the process. And maybe there's an evolution happening in structure for how we organize with each other that includes the whole planet that just hasn't been realized yet.
Yeah.
It's in the process of being realized.
That's true. If we look towards history to give us a map for how to move forward, obviously there's probably some good lessons, but it doesn't really fit because we have new tools that we never had before. The many-to-many communications channels, there's nothing in human history that emulates that.
I posit another step in human evolution is occurring that's connecting us up on the global level, and the internet is a sort of exo-nervous system. It's driven by life itself. You know, it's beyond the control of any one particular boys club or person, which is a good thing. And that life itself is moving us to better ways of communicating with ourselves. And what it leads to, well, that's what we get to experience in this life.
Are you saying that the people of the Earth are like the planet's brain cells?
We are for our species. We definitely are brain cells for our species. Yeah. What do you think we're exchanging right now over the waves? These are brain cells in action, right? Concepts, ideas, memes. That's what we do.
Okay. And so what we need is to not be schizophrenic brain cells and not be suicidal brain cells and realize that what I like to say, we are they, but some of them don't know it yet. Right?
That's right.
So we would force them to get it. Like, yes. We're on the same side, okay?
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. Some insist that they're the mysterious other. What can I do?
Yeah, well, some of them think that they need to force me to be on their side.
Oh, mistake.
Little do they know that I'm already there, but their side looks more like my side.
Yeah, God. Mobius strips anyone?
Okay. I think you have an article about that, right? Are you kind of trying to segue?
I do, yes. You do combine my articles rather well, Mrs. Fisher. Thank you very much. I do have articles about this. The Star in a Jar is really what I wanted to talk about.
We barely talked about it. Tell me all about it.
There has been another breakthrough in fusion. You know the old story about fusion reactors? 15 years, we're going to have it. And that's been true for the last 50.
Every time you ask a scientist, fusion, it's 15 years away.
That's right.
And it still is.
And it still is. That's right. However, now some of the experts are saying it's only 10 years away.
Oh, okay. So it'll be 10 years away for the next 50 years.
Well, if it's increasing faster and faster, if the singularity is true, then it should happen really fast.
Okay, so in 10 years, we'll be trying to put a star in the jar into what our launch vehicle.
If 10 years actually is
Saturn.
10 years, which it could be, could be this time around. 10 years could actually be 10 years for a fusion reaction
2026, right around the corner.
We could all have personal spherical tomahawks, a new compact jar that would give us unlimited power on a decentralized basis and also provide fusion power simply from hydrogen to power starships. All right, now you can actually get to close to the speed of light if you accelerate at 1G for a year. If you stay at normal weight, what you're used to on this planet, you can be close to the speed of light in about a year.
Not me. Not me personally, not in this body.
Yeah, I mean, well, yes, you can. You'd be in this body. You'd feel like a normal, it would be just like being on a cruise ship, ideally, right? You'd want to feel like a...
Dr. Future.
Ascension. You see
I know that you're a time traveler, but, you know, the spaceships that are going to be here in 10 years are maybe going to be able to get to Mars. They're probably not going to be able to get to light speed.
Well, I'm saying interplanetary to stellar travel is not as big a leap as it is to go from no space travel to like being in low Earth orbit to being on the moon. I think it's going to be much easier to go from planetary to stellar. It's a much faster leap than we realize.
Sure. Well, you know, in the last 50 years, we got maybe less than 50 guys up there and a few women. And in the next 50 years, I'm predicting it'll be exponentially more.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, Mrs. Future. You agree with me?
I do.
Oh, good. I thought you were being like Gracie for a moment.
I don't know that it's going to be from a star in the jar and traveling at the speed of light.
No, read the article. You'll see. This is a real thing. It's got some great comments about it and, you know, whether we should go solar first and all this sort of thing. So check it out. I love the comment section. Don't forget that.
KSCO Santa Cruz.
Thank you, Maura, for editing this.
Dr. Future will be back after news, traffic, weather with Dave Michaels. Stay tuned for the second hour. On KSU.